There's nothing you cannot do. Stand amazed in your presence. There is hope and peace and hope. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you in all the earth. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you. You do mighty things. You do glorious things. You're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. You do mighty things. You do glorious things. You're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. Stand amazed in your presence.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you that we're in your presence, O God. We do not take it for granted that you've called us your own, O God. Not because of our own doing, but you loved us. You chose us, you saw us in Christ, O God. And you called us to be your own. You predestinated us to be conformed to the image of your Son. And for that we are grateful, O God. Thank you for your love that goes beyond human understanding, that surpasses our perception and understanding, O God. And your presence, your sweet presence, you're welcome to take over, O God. Indeed, speak through me, O God. Thank you for the giving of your people, the Lord, you bless it. And I pray that you may speak through me, O God. I'm just a vessel that you can use for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a pleasure to stand before you and just introduce myself quickly. My name is Pastor Emmanuel Somba, my youth pastor here. I love Jesus as my personal savior. I'm born again. I'm married to one wife and I'm blessed with a daughter. Amen. Today we have an interesting topic which is called a new creation. Amen. Say a new creation. And we are going, by the grace of God, we're going to understand what or who is this new creation. Amen. And when we think of creation, what was the intention of God when he made man? Genesis 1:26, he said, God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, and let them have dominion. So God's original desire was to make men after his image and his likeness. Okay? So his desire, God's heart, God's reason for making mankind was that they be made in his image and likeness. And you see, when you ask yourself, have you ever asked yourself, what does that mean to be made in the image and likeness of God? That means that when we see a human being, we are seeing an image of God. Tall, short, fat, thin, black, brown, yellow, orange, white, They are all image of God. Have you ever asked yourself, what does that mean to be made in the image of God? Is it physically? God has eyes, hair, nose, mouth, fingers, stomach. Think about it. Who wants to try? What does that image and likeness of God mean to you?
Okay, to be image of God, we just the kind of God He is, He has made us as He is, meaning we reflect Him.
Okay, we reflect Him. Go ahead. He has made us like Him. We reflect Him. Okay, that's a good one. Uh-huh. Try.
Praise God.
Amen.
I believe when God as the Bible tells us that God made us from man, He made us in His own image. He required us to have His character and also operate like Him.
So he wanted us to have His character and operate like Him. Uh-huh. Richard, you want to try?
Of course, I know you have to try.
Image and likeness of God. I look at it in two ways. One, is not very different from what my brother said, and that is the likeness that we bear that trait of God, that as He is, so are we. So there is that nature of God in us. Image, I look at chapter 2 that talks about God breathing life. God breathing life in Adam, and that breath of life, the Spirit in us, makes us to be like God.
The Spirit of God in us makes us to be like God.
Okay, praise God. When God told, or when God was creating mankind, and He said, "Let us make man to be like us," He was trying to mean the creature that He's going to create, that is called man, should bear the attributes that God is bearing. In the Spirit, God expects us to be like Him in everything we do. And in the physical, we know God is in Spirit. But then if God is to manifest Himself, like He manifested during the time when He sent His Son, we'll see God just like us. Because I know we did not see Christ, but the Bible tells us that when He was born of human. He stayed among us and He was like man. So that is how God meant it. The attributes to be like Him.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's very nice to share with you all through this evening. The likeness of God, human being, is seen in character of God. God has made everything, then He created man. It means the goodness of God, that nature of God, that good things that God expects of human, He can do. Rather than other animals cannot do good things, rather than eating, sleeping, and all this. So God has given us that Spirit, God has given us that passion, that heart of Him. Thank you.
Thank you. So, the creature called man has a difference to animals, right? Animals.
Okay, you want to say something quick?
Okay. Okay, what about the stuff about that? A white man with his wife, the wife with the basket, black side. Not a man, this is not because of that. how come? And why do our wife not come to the family of God?
Okay.
So, God created us in His image so that at least we can have that relationship with Him.
Okay, thank you. So, God created us in His image to have a deep relationship with Him. Now, I want you to ask yourself, if God made us in His image and likeness, that means that there are things about us that should be like God. Okay? Are we okay with that? So, when we speak of a human being, how many parts compose of a human being? Listen, class. Two.
How many parts make up a human being? I don't mean body parts.
We have a body,
yeah.
Spirit,
uh-huh.
And a soul.
Thank you. Body, spirit, and a soul. Where is the mind? The mind is the soul. Okay? What do you think? Where is the mind? And is it different from the brain?
It's different.
Okay. Uh-huh.
The mind is a part of the soul. Actually.
The mind is part of the soul. Uh-huh.
When the scripture uses the word mind, comprises of the inner part of the man, which makes you relate with God.
Okay. The inner part of the man, which makes him relate to God. Okay. So what's the difference between the soul and the spirit? You're in school. What is the difference between the soul and the spirit? Living soul, but when he's dead, whole soul. I don't agree.
Yes, go ahead. The spirit is the God given breath during the creation.
Spirit is God given breath during creation, okay?
Then the soul is the results of the body and the spirit in the same place.
Just repeat that. Spirit is God given breath. And then soul is
when the spirit is in the body, it is a soul.
Interesting. So when the spirit is in the body, it becomes a soul. So when you're winning souls, what are you winning? Everybody say you're going to win souls. Evangelist, when you're winning souls, what are you going to win? Yes, yes. Every day we say, we are going to win souls. We want souls. Want us to know what is that soul you're going to win.
Amen.
The
soul is the mind of some. The way how we think. And the soul is the heart.
The spirit.
The soul is the mind. And the spirit is what a human being thinks in his heart.
You have introduced another complication. What is the difference between the heart? The mind and the soul.
Now, let me give the answer. I think when the service was started, I gave some time in between because we're discussing about the transformed mind. And I was like, because God said we have the mind of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Yet the Bible says we should transform our mind. Then, is that scripture contradicting Romans chapter 8?
You're not answering the question.
No, I'm trying to count that one.
Okay.
Yeah. So now, the mind, actually, the soul. The heart, they say that's the heart, because the spirit of the man is the heart.
the body is the Lord. So when we're willing to serve, because the Bible says, by thy heart you shall believe, and by your mouth you shall confess. So we're winning the hearts.
Okay. Because of time, let us go to the teaching. I will ask another question.
You know, in youth service we talk. We are young people. Because these are questions, when you go for soul winning, you are going to be asked. True or false? I want 3 volunteers. One to be the body, one to be the mind.
I am the spirit.
3 volunteers. Come. So you are the spirit.
Yeah,
you are there.
The soul.
You are the soul and you are the
body.
You are the body. Okay.
Actually, we are talking something about it, Pastor. That's why he was thinking. But it is okay. I've realized we don't know.
Body?
Soul? Spirit.
Spirit. Now, I want two other volunteers. Two volunteers. Come this side. Now I want to teach you something. Look behind me. Behind me, yes. Someone else.
Your friend.
Look behind me. Now, I want you to have this understanding, okay?
Yes, to be behind Kimbo.
Yes. So, there are two schools of thought. Okay? There are two schools of thought when they speak of the component of a human being, okay? So there are those who believe in the trichotomy of man. By trichotomy, not to scare you, mean three parts of a man. And there are those who believe in the dichotomy of a man, meaning two parts. So, and you find scriptures for all, okay? So, when the Bible says the outer man is wasting away, but the inner man is being renewed, we have this treasure in jars of clay that to show that this all-surpassing power is not from us, but it is from God. That though outwardly,
we are wasting.
His outer man is wasting away, but inwardly, his inner man, or also the hidden man, is being renewed. Okay? So, there's a school of thought that divides man into two parts. The outer man
and the
inner man. Now, when we say salvation, we say, if you must confess with your
mouth
and believe in your
heart.
So, it speaks of your outer man confessing Jesus is Lord. Your inner man also must also believe and
agree
with your
outer man.
Now, if these two don't agree, then you are called a double-minded
person.
Because you have two centers of mind that are not
agreeing.
Do you see that? That is why the Bible tells us in James, if anyone asks something from God, he must believe that he has received it. Because he that asks and does not believe is like a man who looks at himself in the mirror and forgets how he looks. That man is double-minded, unstable in all he does. That man should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So, when you say you have been healed, and in your inner man you have received your healing, your outer man is still having pain. So, Your inner man tells you, no, I received the healing. I have received the healing. Your outer man is saying, but you are limping.
They are not agreeing.
They are not agreeing. So you must bring yourself to the point where your inner man agrees with your
outer man.
Now, when these two are in agreement, then you can move in the direction of the Lord. Now, to the trichotomy. Body, soul, mind, heart. Okay? And spirit?
Spirit.
Spirit, okay? The soul is a seat of your emotions. Is a seat of your will, is a seat of your intellect. Okay? Emotions, will, intellect. Intellect is the same as
mind.
As mind. So your brain work happens here. Your will, the way you decide, when someone can say, come and eat, but inside they have said, I'm not welcome, baby. The outer, the body is saying, welcome, Father. But the inner man is saying, I don't want to give you.
I wish you don't accept.
Please don't. The inner man is saying, please don't
come.
Accept. Other than my father. Can you, Father? So the inner man says, welcome, and refuses to welcome you. But the body told you,
Father.
So the body can tell you, ah, you're beautiful. The inner man will say, ladies are very good at this. You say, oh, you're so smart. But then inside, the inner man has said something that is contrary to. Now, the Bible says, I, the Lord, search. So, for us, we think God looks at us here. But God searches. God searches the heart of man. Because the heart is the core of man. Now, the spirit is the component of God from man, in man. Okay? The spirit is the component of God in
man.
Man.
Makes us different from animals.
Animals have a body. Some are blessed with a mind, like some chimpanzees have a better mind than other. But most of the animals, they run on instinct. You understand? So for them, it is reflex. If they are hungry, they see you.
They eat you.
They eat you. They will not say their prayer before they eat you. For them, they have no way to relate to God. So, your soul is your computer. That interacts with the spirit and interacts with the body. It is the control engine. It is the place of decisions. It is the CPU where the RAM is. Now the problem is the sin did corruption in the brought in a virus.
Virus.
Sin was a virus that brought corruption to the soul. But you see, when Adam sinned, God said that Adam, you shall die. So what component of man died? What died?
Spirit.
When Adam sinned, God said, you shall surely
died.
Was God lying?
I died, Jama.
Huh?
It's the spirit. I'm standing here at the spirit. So I can say I died.
So, when Adam sinned and God said, the day you shall eat from the fruit, you shall surely
die.
So who died?
The spirit. No.
The spirit
died.
So now the spirit is left vulnerable. Sorry, the soul is left vulnerable to any influence from the spirit world. Now, who controls the spirit world?
God.
Outside, no, forget about the body. Outside, who controls the spirit world in the earth?
Satan.
The devil and his demons. They say the God of this world, okay, is at work in the minds of unbelievers, blinding them. So because this man is dead, the spirit man is dead to God because he's in sin, the demons have a field that they can slap you.
Disappear. Bring others.
Disappear. Then they give you teachings. Uh-huh. They bring movies. They bring programs. They bring pornography. Everything. Then your mind tells your body, hey, I have watched something. Let us go and act. Because of stimulation of your soul with the wrong things, your body starts to react. Because in the mind you're corrupted, you think this one is a kakwa, this one is a dinka. When you meet the kakwa and the dinka, you want to slap. So your body is only controlled, is a puppet of
a corrupted soul.
Of the soul. The corrupted soul, the corrupted heart, the corrupted mind.
And emotions.
And emotions, the will, the intellect, influences the body. But you get to a point where you have stimulated the body too much until now the body starts to control you. You find the person, he's saying, no, 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 I need to change now. I need to stop smoking. I need to stop masturbation. I'm going to stop. And then he says, I'm stopping. I'm not going to smoke. And the body is laughing. Say, this guy does not have any power. He thinks, then the body gives you headache. Give the guy headache. And then the headache comes here. He says, this headache will kill me. The signal is coming where?
From the body.
The body, you have already been giving it pleasure. You have been sleeping around. So it wants to maintain the same. Same joy. It enjoys sleeping with boyfriends, it enjoys everything. Why are you denying me now? Mind. Go and convince another guy quickly. And then your mind starts to cook. Ideas. You start scrolling your phone. This girl I said I'll leave her, but let me just say hi. And of course, because the devil is controlling everything, he makes sure the other lady on the other side was also thinking about you. And I said, Alas.
Zamatawi.
And you are down. So you see, no matter how much this man that is dead in spirit tries to live a righteous life, he cannot be able to. He cannot be able to do anything because the power cannot be won by the human effort. It cannot be won. People can try meditation, they can try fasting, they can try anything they want. It is only the power of Christ that can make this creature that died when Adam sinned into a new creation.
sin. And the Bible says just because one man sinned, sin entered into the whole world. And every man sinned. And that is why even if you say, oh, he's a good man, oh, he's not bad.
A kind unbeliever.
He's a good man. I know he's not a Christian, he's not born again, but he's okay. There are many believers who are boring.
He's kind.
He's kind, he's a good man. But he is dead. He is
dead.
So basically, you're going to marry a dead man. And you tell the pastor, no, just come and wait. That's blessing. Okay, we bless. Bless. Now, this man, who is his father?
The devil.
Who is the father of this man who is dead in spirit? That means who is your father-in-law? Hey. No, let us stop. That means that, and as we know, if your father-in-law can visit you, can he?
Time.
He has the right. He's coming you to cannot, see his daughter.
You cannot refuse him.
And you have to prepare food for them.
Yep.
So people are wondering why there is no peace in their home. Because they marry a child of the devil, so their father-in-law is? And he can visit any time. So people like excellent. Oh, he's nice. Oh, he's a good man. Oh, he's generous. Oh, he gives me money. Oh, this lady is okay. She respects me. Ah, even when she pleases me, she just goes on her knees.
She's hard working.
She's hard working. Every funeral she's there. The whole community likes her. My father-in-law likes her. But the father-in-law is? You come and tell me, tell me no problem. Yeah, don't refuse. You want to, whoever you want to marry, I will agree. I will not waste my time praying for you. It is you to decide to see, is this person born again or not?
Born again.
The Bible says two cannot walk together unless
they agree.
That means to you, if this person is okay to marry a dead man, that means you're also dead. For me, what that tells me is you're also not born again. So for me, I said, go and marry, continue. Because even God is not unfair to make an equally yoked people marry. God is not unfair. But because you think smoking, drinking is okay, you say you don't mind, then that means also you are ready to smoke and drink. As long as you can marry a drunkard, that means even you from time to time you will drink. And when the alcohol will be in the fridge, you'll be the one serving it. And one day you say, let me test also. So anyone who tells me they want to marry an unbeliever, for me, in my mind, what I said, this one is even an unbeliever. I thought you were a believer in church all these days. I said, it's okay. When is the wedding? We are coming. We will dance. We will dance. For sure we will dance. Cake we will eat. Contribution we will contribute. No worry, we will come. But we know your father-in-law is. And you married a
dead man
and a dead woman. So it's not a wedding, it's a funeral, eh?
Oh my God.
Then, what did Jesus do? When Jesus came and died, the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot be perceived. That seeing is perception, is sight. So, when a man accepts Jesus Christ, what happens is the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, comes and gives life and breathes life to this man. And And this man becomes alive. The Bible says that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is
spirit.
The man controlled by the spirit is life. The mind controlled by the flesh is death. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Those who are led by the flesh is death. The flesh cannot please God and it is in enmity to God. So as long as your spirit is without Christ, you are a walking dead man. But when Christ comes, what happens is there is a union. And this union happens at the spirit level. Now this union is so unique that Jesus told his disciples that I am going to my Father and I will ask him to send you another helper. Who is the Spirit of Truth? Who will be with you forever? And then what does he say? He will come and bring the Father, and he will bring Jesus, and we will come and make our home with you. So this new creation does not just have the Holy Spirit alone. It is alive, it has the Holy Spirit, it has the Father, and it has the Son.
Wow.
Because Jesus said, we will come and make our home with you. So, if any man be in Christ, so this spirit is now surrounded by the Spirit of Christ. And Christ is in God. My life is now hidden in Christ, and Christ is hidden in God. Now, I want to ask you a question. Where is Christ? The Bible tells us he was given a name that is above every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth must
under.
And the Bible says that he was exalted to the highest place in the heavens, far above all thrones, all powers, all principalities. So, when Christ was exalted, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Where is the Father? In the third heavens, in the highest place in the heavens. Where is Satan and the devil? They're in the second heavens,
second
right?
Heavens, yes.
Where are we? We're in the first heaven. Now, when the new creation, what God does is that he brings this creation and he brings your spirit creature come. And he says, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all thrones, all powers, all principalities, all dominions, all works of heavens. Who is the new creation? He's seated with Christ. Stay there. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is
a new creation.
The old has gone, and the new has come. And this is of God, who was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God was in Jesus, reconciling us to himself. So where is the new creation seated in the Spirit? With Christ.
In the third heaven.
Hallelujah! That means when you are praying, how do you start your prayer?
My Father.
Because you are
seated with him. But we have been told when you are praying, you must first fight demons here first.
Bind.
Bind them first.
Fire.
Bind. And you are told by the time you have to pray first 1 hour, then you will break through. No.
I ask he's laughing here. Yeah.
Because he has been fighting the demons. Huh? You have got it.
Yes.
Your purpose as a new creation is to enjoy time with your Father.
Amen.
What is your business thinking about wizards? What is your business thinking about witchcraft? What is your business thinking about principalities? Where is Christ? Far above all thrones, all powers, all principalities, all dominions. Satan and all his angels are in the second heavens. And where are you? You are seated with Christ up there. And when there, your life is in Christ and Christ is in God. That means that if the devil wants to find you, he has to go and ask God for permission. Says, God.
Can
I touch this man? He's enjoying himself because you have protected him. Let me touch his leg. He will deny you. God said, just the leg alone, go and touch. Then you are walking. You fell. And then you start crying, Jesus, where are you? Where were you when I was sacked? Where were you when this boyfriend left me? Where were you?
That's reminded me. I think the devil went, when Jesus was on earth, the devil went and asked
for permission.
For permission.
Even then.
Said, go.
That time, Jesus was not yet glorified.
Yes,
okay. He was still here. So, this man is in Christ. So, in your prayers, the Bible says, with boldness, you have now access to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find mercy and grace for your time of need. Now, if you know where you are, you're already at the throne. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You just say Papa. Abba.
Abba.
Sweet Father.
Sweet Father.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying.
The first ever.
Thank you for fighting for me.
Thank you for fighting.
Thank you for sitting me in the highest place in the heavens.
Thank you for sitting me in the highest place in heaven.
You know what Jesus was told after? He was told, sit until I make your enemies your footstool. Say this rod, I will send the rod of strength from Zion. So what is Christ doing? He's just
sitting.
Jesus is at peace.
Amen.
He has already conquered. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Right hand means the right hand of power and authority. All power, all authority, all wisdom, all strength, all dominion is with Christ. And where are we?
We are seated with him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That is why you should not even be thinking, today I will be attacked by demons. If you think so, that means you are not there, you are here. And because you are here, and the devils think this one thinks he's here, what will they do? They will? Because you know, doubt, faith comes from hearing the word of God. The opposite of faith is doubt or fear. That means that anything that you fear, you are having negative faith that it will happen for you. You are having faith negative that it will happen. And because you have faith in the negative, it must happen.
I have a question, Pastor. I have a question. Does that mean that sometimes our thoughts can take us from the third heaven and take us back there?
Of course. You got it, man. Yeah. You got it. That means the moment you think you are a failure, you have jumped from there to
the first heaven.
And in the first heaven, who is the God?
The
moment you go for an interview and you think you will fail, you have already failed. Because you have applied negative faith. And because faith must work. If you apply in the negative through fear and doubt, even Job said, the thing I greatly feared has happened to me. Why was Job praying all the time? Oh God, protect my children. Oh God, protect my wealth. He did not know that he's already protected. He thought that his prayer was giving him protection. So because he thought that his prayer was giving him protection, the devil said, yeah, now can I attack him? I know his areas. The devil came on and attacked. What was he praying for protection? His children
and the wealth.
And which area the devil touched?
The same.
And the Bible says, Job said itself, this thing I greatly fear has happened to me. But the Bible says you have not received a spirit of fear, but you have received a spirit of power and a sound mind. Now, any Christian that knows their position will know you don't even need to fast to cast out devils. Because Jesus has already defeated the devils. He has already made them a public spectacle of them. All you need to do is, devil, get out. The devils know, the ones who know who they are. Because they can see. If your mind is still corrupted, they say this one is our customer. This one is our client. Why? Because he's still a slave of sin. He's still a slave of pornography. He's still a slave of music, secular music. He's still a slave of tribalism. He's still a slave of all these things. Because to him, his mind is not renewed in Christ. When the Bible tells us, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, you're only renewed in your mind by reading the word. Now, when you read the word, you discover something that Jesus says, that Christ in me, the hope of glory. And says, this is the mystery that has been hidden from time before. So, any new creation must know their place in the heavens. Any new creation must know they are seated with God the Father. Any new creation must know that the devil was already defeated. Any new creation must know that they have been given the mind of Christ. Christ has become for us our wisdom, our justification, our sanctification. The new creation knows they are holy and righteous. Because righteousness is not in your own eyes. Even the Bible says, even if your own heart condemns you, we know that God is bigger than our hearts.
Amen.
So the new creation, it just says, thank you, Father.
for the conquest. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the riches. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the anointing. But you will find preachers, it is their understanding. I don't blame them. It is how they were taught. They were taught that you first have to wrestle first. So when they start, they get ready. They say, you know, I went for that crusade and what happened? I got a stroke. Because I was slapped by the devil. Because he doesn't know where. And because they don't know where they are, they will actually be slapped. What you don't know, ignorance is no defense. When you are caught by traffic, will you say you don't know? In fact, when you say you don't know, is when they are very happy. They say this one, you can even tell him the fine is 5,000 or 500,000. And he will remove. Because they have found you don't know. So if you don't know who you are, you don't read the word, you don't know how to be led by the Spirit of God, you're going to fall victim to the second heavens. Because when you're led by the Spirit of God, when you're about to walk into danger, the Spirit of God will tell you, this boy is wrong. Go back and sleep. Go back home. Don't go to school today. That is why the Bible says those who are born of the Spirit are like the wind. They don't know where it goes and where it comes. Why? Because they have supernatural wisdom from above. They have revelation. They have sight. That is why when they try to read the Bible with their natural mind, it's a storybook. But when we read the Bible, we explain it. The Bible is open to us. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. We have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's why the Bible says we are blessed. Ephesians 1:3. Thanks be to God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. That means that you must always be in Christ. The day you decide to leave Christ, you're having a big fall. And those guys, they are like roaring lions. They are waiting. You know, they read your thoughts. Because that one is their soul. So when you're sleeping and you think, I have not prayed today, maybe I need to pray. If I don't pray, I'll be attacked by devils. You have said, okay, they will not attack you. You pray. But the next day, because you did not pray, because you believe that you need to pray to be covered by from attack, they're going to attack you properly. You find someone in the first heavens has to sleep with the Bible under the pillow. Because they believe the Bible, you know? When he has said, never will I leave you. What does that mean? Surely I am with you until the very end of the age.
Oh, my time is gone.
Don't come down, stay there.
Because those ones here are suffering. But I want us to understand something. What I've taught is what we call positional righteousness. Everything that Christ has done is true. And this is not your effort. It's not your anointing. It's not your fasting. It's not your prayer. It's simply believing. And remember, we talked about the two centers of belief is your inner man and your outer man, your mouth and your heart, your mind and your inner man. If what I've spoken, you have believe it both from here and from here. Because if you're still double-minded, you're still going, you're still in the first heavens. And prepare for some boxing. That is what Christ does, and that is what we call the finished works of Christ. He has paid it all. Now, someone will ask, but Pastor, you say healing was already paid for, and it's true, but I am sick. You say, Pastor, things are not working. Christ has already become, he has defeated sin and all its effects and poverty. But things are not working. There's something called fighting the good fight of faith. Your job is to fight with that thought and make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 7, is it 13? 4 to 5. Where it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So your job in fighting in spiritual warfare is to take those thoughts that are contrary to what Christ has done and to make it obedient to Christ. And that is why you should fast. You should fast to make sure your inner man agrees with the word. That is why you pray. You pray because it is your union, your communication with your Father. If you know who you are, you will not be begging. You will be thanking God for what He has already done. You see, how did Jesus operate? Jesus would just say, thank you, Father, because you have had me there. The only reason I'm saying is because of these people. I thank you that you always... Can we get to the place where we are convinced that we are seated with Him and when even our thoughts, He hears it. That is all you might be thinking. Hey, I've not drunk juice today. And someone comes and buys you. And you'll ask yourself, how did you know that I wanted juice? But because of where you are with your Father. And your Father can make everything to align for you. The Bible says that all He did was for His good pleasure. You know, God loves to see human beings who are like Him. The new creations and the beloved Son. You know the way He told Jesus, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Every new creation, that's what God says. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And if you continue hearing, pleasing God, He will now tell people, this is my beloved Son. Hear Him. The challenge is, many people have that understanding, but then they are still coming back to their mind. They are coming back to their carnal nature. They are thinking in their tribes. They are thinking in their religion. They are thinking in their education. They say, oh no, science says this. Then you have lost where Christ placed you, and you come and resolve with your mind. You say, but I am 40. No man has approached me. You stopped reasoning with Christ. And you came and reasoned in your flesh. And the Bible says that anyone in the flesh cannot please God. But faith pleases God. So your job is to know the word of God as a new creation.
the one to know every promise that God has promised you, so that you apply it and you maintain your position. You don't know God, nobody will box you. You don't know that He was made poor so that you might become rich, you will stay poor. You don't know that you have the mind of Christ. God has given you His mind. Can you believe that? That means you know all things. Your spirit knows all things. You know it. But your mind will tell you, I don't know. You have to fight. Fight. That fight of faith is the biggest fight for the new creation. But you see, there are those who are still in the flesh. That is why Paul said, I wish I could address you as spiritual, but I cannot, because you are still carnal. Because you are still fighting, oh, I follow Apollos, oh, I follow Pastor this, I follow Pastor this, I follow Prophet this, oh, this is my man of God. Don't you know that all things are ours? All things are yours. God owns everything. And you're seated with Him, that means everything is yours. The whole world is yours. Everything is yours. Christ has already won it, heaven and on earth. He has brought them together into one in Christ. That is why you should not even worry about owning lands. Your Father owns everything. In fact, when you're going to buy the land, you just say, I'm coming to take possession of my Father's place. Because He says, I'll buy without money. You buy it first in your inner man before you buy it out of it. You get money inside. You already graduate inside. That is why even when you're given an F, you're given a failure, you say, it's a lie. Me, I have not failed. Because the inner man, me, Christ, I don't fail. I am Christ in me. How can Christ in me be a failure? I will reject it and I will beat it 100%. I'm going to slap it right center. He is done joking with me. Give me time. The new creation must know who they are. The Bible says, they that know their God, they shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. So you have a starting point. Your starting point is victory. Now, how God does, we know how God creates. He goes to the end. He finishes the work. And then He comes to the beginning. So the Bible tells us that He has created us in Christ Jesus. He was happy to bring many sons into glory. And daily, as we reflect, as we gaze upon Him, we are being transformed with an ever-increasing glory. Every day as you read the Word, as you pray, as you fast, as you take time with the Word, you are being transformed. You are being transformed. In the spirit man, you are growing. You are growing. You are growing. As you reflect Him, you are being conformed into the image of the Son. So many Christians are there. They are just born again. They are playing with sin. They say, let me sin today. Let me confess tomorrow. Let me sin today. Oh, I'm coming to take over. Oh, let me confess on the motorbike. Others, I might have accident. So many Christians are here. They're coming to God, they come back. They're coming closer to God, they fast a few days, they come closer, then they go and watch pornography. Then they say, let me come in. And they start praying. They get closer, then they meet the boyfriend. But, you know it, They say there are some angels who are most certainly measured in Zion. You know those angels, eh? You have seen them? They are constantly measuring Zion. Those are the ones who are constantly measuring you. They see this guy has grown today. He's growing. He's celebrating. Then he meets a guy. Comes down. They now are just. They say, we wanted to give you the territory of Juba, but where you are now? No, no, you only need your plot. But then you grow in the spirit again. You focus. You have faith. Then they measure. Okay, we can increase another measure of glory, another measure. Then you meet a woman, they confuse you. You meet a false prophet, you're confused. They return. So children are like this. Because they are new creation, if they die, what happens? They still go to heaven. But this one, will never be given responsibility the kingdom of God. You want territories. You want to be an apostle. You want to be worthy. And you are here. Even you, your child, when they ask for a car, can I give Zoe a car now? I can afford a car today if I want to give her. But will I give up? Even if she cries, will I give up?
Maybe a toy.
A toy, guys. So this is how things are in the spirit. God, I want the healing anointing. He's watching. I want the healing. Let me give offering. Let me anointing. You give. He's watching. You don't know him. You don't know his ways. That is the difference between what Christ has finished and where you are. The Bible says the heir, as long as he's a child, is under trustees and guardians. Even though he's the owner of all things, they are not bequeathed to him. Only when the heir becomes mature, then can be given responsibility. New creation. The decision is yours. Either to stay there or to come to where Christ has paid for you.
Let us give thanks to God. Let us stand.
Hallelujah.
Just speak to your Father. Speak to your Father. You know where you are seated with him. Speak to him. Ah, Father, I thank you for the revelation of being a new creation in you. And I'm seated with you in heavenly places, far above all thrones, all powers, all principalities, all rocks of darkness. That you have equipped me with all wisdom, all manner of understanding, all manner of power, all manner of anointing. You have made me in your image and likeness. You have conformed me to the image of your Son. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the wisdom to do your will. I thank you for the grace to do your will. Give me the strength, the capacity to daily be at your altar, to daily seek your face, to daily read your word, to daily wait at your gates, O God, to hear your voice, to be obedient to your leading, to be your son, O God. I desire